Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. The message this week is titled, Let Justice Roll. Thank you to Ed, Glynis, and Don for being involved in the video. The scripture reading is Amos 5, 21 to 24.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our time of worship here in this place and online. We welcome you all to this gathering. A few announcements to start with. Dwayne Williams, who's a vice principal at Great Lakes Christian High School, has a need for some homestays during March break. If you can accommodate him in that way, if you get in touch with Dwayne Williams at Great Lakes, the students come, stay in your house for March break, and there is financial assistance for that. Birthdays this week. Tim, you're having a birthday. Is it a significant birthday?
Never.
Never? I think they're all significant at some level. And Martin, having a birthday this week? Good for you. And Joan and Chad is having a birthday this week. And Jim, another significant birthday. Another milestone, not millstone. Happy birthday to all of you. As far as prayer requests go, Michael had surgery on his eye a couple of weeks ago. He was initially had some really good results, but recently, within about the last week or so, his eyesight has sort of faded away. He was very concerned about that, but he saw his doctor this week, and the doctor says he just requires, after about 6 weeks, a little bit of laser treatment, and then he'll be fine. So we're hopeful for that. We need to be prayerful. He likes to put stuff on Facebook and message people, but with his eyesight the way it is, he can't really do that very well, so encourage people to make phone calls, he's happy to talk to you on the phone. Our reading today comes from Amos chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. I hate and despise and reject your feasts. I do not take delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fattened animals. Take the noise of your songs away from me. I shall not even listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice run down like waters and righteousness like a never-flowing stream. I read with interest this morning a message from Andy and Tammy from the Ukraine. He says in the message that they were able to meet with 200 families online this morning for a worship service. So they're still connected to the internet. They're still able to communicate. I think all of us, if we have any kind of compassion in our hearts, we'd be bitterly upset by the circumstances of this week. And for them, being family and friends in the middle of it, I believe that before we enter into a prayer for ourselves here today, I would invite all of you to pray at this time for the situation in the Ukraine and for Andy and Tammy and their family and their church family specifically, and then I will close the prayer after a few moments. Let's pray. Thank you. Our Father, with saddened hearts, we come to you that the world could be so broken and fractured, that people are fighting. We pray, Father, for peace. We pray that the message that our Ukrainian church family received this morning, that it ring true, that we will seek you, God, that we'll live with hope, and that we'll live with love. And surely that message this morning that went to our Ukrainian friends and family is our prayer here today for ourselves, that our lives might be lives directed to seeking you and searching for you and following you, and that we live with a great hope that you give us because of the assurance through Jesus Christ, and that we love, and that we do this in the context of our daily lives to the people around us, the people that we come in contact with, the people that we have an effect with. We pray, Father, for hearts filled with hope and love and filled with you. We pray your blessing today on our gathering today, that we might draw close to you, give honor to you, and that honor and closeness might exist throughout our week. We pray for Michael at this time. We pray that he might feel peace in his life, that he feel confident, that his eyesight will return, and that he'll be able to carry on his independent life. We pray for healing. We pray for those around him that are helping him at this time. Again, we pray your blessing on our time together. Pray this in Jesus' name. And all of the church said, Amen.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Justice. When I thought about justice, I thought, I don't actually really kind of know what that means. I know there's lots of different popular meanings of justice, but I thought, well, go to Google, see what the dictionaries online have to say. So the Oxford Dictionary described justice as being just behavior or treatment, a concern for justice, peace, and genuine respect for people. Wikipedia described it as, justice is a concept on ethics and law that means that people behave in a way that is fair, equal, and balanced for everyone. The Cambridge Dictionary said, treating someone in a way that is right or reasonable, or treating a group of people equally, and not allowing personal opinions to influence your judgment. The scripture in Amos is not about the act of worship or the manner in which they were conducting their formal act of worship. It's not about ticking off all the boxes to see that they've done their worship exactly correctly. They seem to be doing all the things that God wanted them to do. But it's not about who is speaking or who is singing or who is playing the harp and when they're playing it. It's about the heart. Hebrews 4 in verses 12 and 13 said, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That made me think. So, How do I treat others? How do I respond to people with whom I have a different opinion? Do I yell at them? Do I intimidate them? Do I withdraw my love for them? Do I argue in order to make my opinion more valuable than theirs? Am I a bully? Or do I take responsibility for my own role in being a peacemaker? Do I reach down deep into the place where Jesus rescued me from my sin and instead practice being a peacemaker? Practice control of myself. Practice keeping a tight rein on my tongue. Practice being just and not bullying to get what I want. Practice letting God's word speak to my heart. I'm going to read that again, and I want you to put yourself in that spot. Do I take responsibility for my own role in being a peacemaker? Do I reach down deep into the place where Jesus rescued me from my sin and instead practice being a peacemaker? Practice control of myself. Practice keeping a tight rein on my tongue. Practice being just and not bullying to get what I want. Practice letting God's word speak to my heart. Because that's really what the scripture in Amos is about. It's about the heart. But it's so hard. In the moment, in the passion that whips up inside of us, it can be so hard to practice reaching back into that place where God speaks to my heart. Going on in Hebrews in verses 14 to 16, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So as we take communion, let's consider our hearts, how we can practice, maybe in brackets, at getting better at, so we might not be there yet. I know I'm not. Practice reaching down into that place in the midst of turmoil, especially when our emotions are stirred up, and say to ourselves, okay, you know what? I need to go back to that place where Jesus rescued me. He knows this struggle. And he will help me to practice being a peacemaker. Because he spilled his blood for us. So let's pray for the communion. Dearest Lord God, in these times of trouble, lots of things going on, God, please help us to be the peacemakers that you demonstrated not only through your life, but also through your death, burial, and resurrection that gives us hope of transformation. God, help us to be the people that you want us to be, that practice justice for the groups and for the people, especially in our lives. God, we are so grateful. God, we thank you for the bread and the wine that literally courses through our body when we take it to remind us of your great sacrifice and your great love. God, we love you. We thank you for being who you are. We thank you so much for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Good morning to all. Glad to have you with us today. The reason why we preach from Scripture is because the Bible tells us, it gives us great encouragement. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15. He says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us that through the endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, that we might have hope." And so when we gather on Sundays and words are expressed, wonderful words this morning have been expressed, and in the sermon we just want to share some scriptures that hopefully would give us encouragement and give us instruction. I love the passage in Amos chapter 5. "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream," that the whole world would be full of justice. And we know that's not the case, but one day it will. So here's a question. Many of you remember, maybe by a raising of hands, how many remember Martin Luther King Jr. and some of his speeches in the past? Yeah. It was a monumental time in many of our lives. He was a wonderful preacher, and he knew the scriptures quite well. And because of social injustice, he stood up and spoke. And many of you remember that time when he gathered in Washington in front of hundreds of thousands of people who gathered, and the speech that he gave, which was powerful. Question: was Martin Luther King Jr. a minister, or was he a social justice advocate? And the answer is yes. Was the Old Testament prophet Amos a teacher of God, or was he a social justice advocate? And the answer is absolutely to both. I would encourage you, if you have not read the book of Amos, to read it. You may be excited about what you read. In a very difficult time, he stood up as a person of justice. So there are many books in the Bible that we read more often than others. Probably in the Old Testament, the most often read book would be the book of Psalms. So many, 150 Psalms are there, and I think a lot of people use their favorite Psalms. And I think maybe in the New Testament, the Gospel of John would be the most often read Bible book, because John records the most popular scripture in all the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." But then there are Bible books that are seldom read. In the New Testament, I think most people avoid Revelation because it's difficult to understand. A lot of symbolism, very apocryphal. And then there are Bible books in the Old Testament that we seldom read. For example, when was the last time you read and studied and got excited about the book of Amos? It's just not a book we read very often. But Amos is a book that highlights social justice. So as I said, I just have a very brief message today, and I'm really not going to make comments. I just want to read from the scripture about social justice. And there are some interesting scriptures in the Bible, Old and New Testament alike, that talk about how you and I can be involved in social justice. In Amos 5, 21 through 24, when Martin Luther King Jr. gave his speech in front of the hundreds of thousands of people, he quoted from the book of Amos, and in light of prejudice, discrimination, and unrighteousness, here's what he said. Let justice roll on like a river, like a never-ending stream. Now, righteousness is not always an easy word to understand. It really has to do with being honest and being upright. And so Amos is declaring this message as well. And of course, centuries later, Martin Luther King Jr. grabs it and really declares it to the world indeed. And it's still profound. So God reminded Amos who Amos was and to whom he belonged, to teach, to serve, to be an example of love and justice. And similarly, in 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us, it is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. We'd like to think that we did this on our own. It's because of God who helped us through the Holy Spirit to make the decisions to be Christians. We didn't just do it on our own. We didn't just come into the world because of our parents. God says over and over and over again in Scripture, I knew you before you were born, and I knew the exact places and times in which he would live. God has always known more about us than us. And he still advocates over all these centuries his loveness, his goodness. In fact, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, which one of these beautiful words really describe God? Love, yeah, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and control. And all of these beautiful attributes he shares with us. It's a connection with God. And part of all of that is social justice. Standing up for people who can't stand up for themselves. To speak for people who can't speak for themselves. And one of the reasons why the disciples were thrown into prison so often was because they had a social message that God loves each and every one, Jew and Gentile alike, and they were thrown in prison because of it. Martin Luther King Jr. stood up and declared that every person in this world is created in the image of God, and everything that who they are comes from God. And because he said that, because he preached equality, he was thrown into jail. But his words were, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about jail. As the apostle said the same thing, I'm not worried about being thrown into jail. If God allowed me to go to jail because I'm standing up for God, then let it be so. And if God wants me to come out of jail and share the message, then let it be so. So it's so interesting, isn't it? In the Bible, we have this very quotation, political book. And yet it's not just political. It's the aspect of let justice. How can I be part of social justice? By being honest, by being upright, and like Amos said, like a never-ending stream, let justice roll on. So God reminded Amos who he was and to whom he belonged, to teach, to serve, to be an example. 1 Corinthians says it's because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become wisdom for us and our righteousness, holiness, and redemption, and that people ought to regard us as servants of Christ and those entrusted with the secret things of God. It's secret to a lot of people in the world that anyone would live their lives based on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. That just seems kind of weak. And yet, it's what God created the world for us to live in this world, demonstrating the fruit of God. It isn't weakness to need help, and it isn't weakness to help. James writes, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So stay strong in doing good. Let justice roll on like a river." In the book of Colossians, Paul writes that part of justice is to struggle for the betterment of others. Here's what Paul says. "I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally." It just grabbed me this week that sometimes we read scripture so often that we forget that when scripture is being written, people's emotions are at their peak. Paul didn't just sit down with a scroll and say, let me see. I think I'll write a letter to this church and I don't know what I'll say. I'll just kind of say something. No, he pictured them in his mind. He saw them. He knows what they were going through. And he wants to encourage them. He wants them to be people who advocate for others. And so when Paul says, "I want you to know how much I am struggling for you," I think as parents, we know that. Sometimes when our children are acting out and we just can't seem to get through, we struggle for them, we pray, we encourage them, we do everything we can. And mostly as time goes on, age has a way of helping people mature, but we've all been there. Have you ever stopped to think how God sometimes wrestles for us? Strange statement, but how God knows us better than we know ourselves and how he encourages us. Paul says, "I struggle for others." Sometimes God struggles for us. And because of that, we get it. We get this understanding that God has been with us. How many of you remember in your lives, different times in your life when things have been very, very difficult and you've come through it, and then one day you just go, "You know, I didn't do that. God did that. God helped me through all of that. I mean, I did the best I could, but I couldn't have got through that without God. I'm not sure how I could have done that. It was God who did that." And then we forget about it again. Then down the road, we go, "Oh, God, thank you for answering these prayers." So when Paul struggles for this wonderful group of people at the city of Colossae, he says, "I want you to know how much I am struggling for you. And for at Laodicea, all who have not yet met me, but my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Okay, unpack that. Go ahead and unpack that. And a month later, we'll still be in the introduction stage. It's just so powerful. And so Paul says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. Sounds good, but I know what God said. Well, I like that argument. No, I know what God said. Well, you know, it just seems like something. I know what God says. And when God speaks, he's our Father who loves us, who encourages us, who reaches out to us with endurance and encouragement. So one of the cool stories in the Bible, and I wish it was longer. So when we get to heaven, I want to grab hold of Queen Sheba, and I want her to tell me the whole story. There's this cool story in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, and it's the story of the Queen Sheba, who hears of Solomon's fame, Solomon's achievements, his wisdom, and she says, "Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on his throne as king to rule for the Lord your God. Because of the love your God for Israel and his desire to uphold them forever," he says this, "God has made you king over them to maintain justice and righteousness." So you can just picture this Queen of Sheba with this entourage. I can't even imagine what it would be like coming into town and this meeting that's there. And it's not just by chance. God organized all of this and lets Solomon know, and because of that, all Israel to know, to maintain justice and righteousness. When King David was being criticized and slandered, he responded with these words, "I know the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live before you." Psalm 140. So in the book of Amos, this comment that many years later Martin Luther King Jr. shares with us, and even though it's been many years ago, we remember his words. "Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." In a scorching rebuke, Amos writes, "You who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground." It's not a good thing. Let righteousness roll like a river, like a never-ending stream. And there's encouragement when there's justice. And there's instruction, usually, when there's justice. Romans chapter 16, Paul says, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations may believe and obey in him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." So there's encouragement and there's instruction. Have you ever noticed when you're reading through, especially in the New Testament, and Paul is writing and Peter is writing and James is writing and John is writing, there's instruction, but there's also encouragement there. You know, there's also encouragement. Some of us remember trying to teach our children how to ride a two-wheel bicycle. And you need to have patience. They needed to have patience. And there's instruction, but there's encouragement. Oh, you almost got it. Oh, okay, good. See if you can drive to the next driveway without driving into the ditch. Go ahead and try it. You know, do the best you can. And sometimes we grab hold of the bike and we hold on to them. And then we say, okay, go ahead and go. Don't let go, Dad. Don't let go. Okay, I won't let go. Oh, I guess I let go. And all of a sudden, and the smile when they realize they're doing it on their own. See, righteousness is part of that. Righteousness is learning to be a righteous person, an honest, upright, fruit of the Spirit person, where it becomes somewhat natural, all because of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this is a great gift God gives us, and he never stops giving it to us. What? Justice, himself, his love, even during very, very difficult times. Because when difficult times come, and they come, sometimes like a stream flowing into an ocean, and an ocean overwhelming us. Remember, he says, in this world you will have trouble. But what comes next? But take heart. I have overcome your world. Not just the world. I've overcome your world. Not for one second has God not been with you. Every moment of the day, his presence is with us. And so because of that, when in Galatians, Paul writes, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then in your freedom and don't allow yourselves to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery where religion becomes oppressive. But when religion is free and welcoming and opening, it highlights God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there is so much joy and freedom, even in the painful times in life. And so in Philippians 1, 9 through 11, Paul says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's a mouthful of praise and glory. God hears and gladly receives our praise given to him. He hears and he loves the praise that is given to him. And so Paul says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through him. And then just a few more scriptures and then we'll be done. Very familiar passage when Paul writes in 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly good for every good work. It's this encouragement through. Or in Titus chapter 3, some of us remember this, not just these words, but where we were in life and how God brought us out. He says these words. And maybe some of you can remember these times. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Can't imagine. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things, not because we deserved it, not by righteous things that we had done, but because of him, his mercy. But because of his mercy. It's because of him, who he is. This wonderful, wonderful God. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. God is with us today, tomorrow, forever, and forever, and forever. This is a trustworthy saying, he says. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful not only to stress them, but to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. And in this very brief book called Philemon, he says this, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing in Christ Jesus. Or in Hebrews 10, don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Or in James, which has sometimes been called the living daily Christian book instruction. But when the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. That's what Martin Luther King was trying to do on that gathering in Washington. Hundreds of thousands of people. And so many years later, we still remember that speech. Let justice roll on like a river. And throughout his speech, his reference to God was constant. This is who God created us to be. This is who we are. We want to live up to whom God called us to be. And so in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Some of you remember when your children were young, babies, and you were washing them in the bathtub probably, and they're just happy as all get out, and they're putting soap on their hair and so forth, and they're having giggles and they're laughing all. They're just lathered, and we laugh at it, and they're so happy and playing. That's a lavish experience. And you look at those words, and they're not just words. This lathering, this lavishment that God pours out into our lives. Why are we so wonderfully given these beautiful gifts of God? Why? Because God loves to give his children, not just his gifts, but himself. That's who God is. A lavishing, loving God who pours out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. Just claim it because he's already given it to us. He's given himself. He's given us Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He gives us this book of encouragement and instruction to live lives, to help people see who they are created to be in the very image of God. And that's why John's comments is constantly part of love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Or then in Jude, but you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. And then lastly, in Revelation 12 and verse 11, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, it says, and they overcame him, meaning Satan, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, who was Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. They spoke about it. They did not love their lives so much, even as to shrink from death. And then the last verse in the entire Bible, after going through everything that we went through this morning, listen to all these words. The last words in the Bible are these words. You better do it or else. No, that's not what it says. The last words in the Bible, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen.
We thank Don and Glynis for their thoughtful words this morning on the idea of social justice. I think sometimes people who are up front, we have sort of concrete examples of preparation and so forth. But every week, the service is planned in connection with the folks that are participating in the service by Adam and Kristen. And I received a letter this morning. The elders received a letter this morning that Kristen is stepping aside. And I want you to know, Kristen, that we have loved working with you. We've loved having you give input to our service over these last several years. And we do really appreciate the things that you've done to make this a better church. So, yeah. And I think that we need participation from people to help us to have good services. And thank you so much for your work over these last few years. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you that you have laid out for us a way that we can understand how you want us to live and behave and treat each other. And that because of Jesus and his example and his words, he has showed us what you mean. We pray, Father, that we might be people who act in a way that brings honor and glory to you in this world, in a way that will draw people to you, in a way that honors the scriptures and the spirit that you have given us, and that we pay attention to your goodness, we pay attention to the hope that you have provided for us through Jesus Christ, and that we pay attention to the love that you have for us as created beings, but created beings with a choice. We pray that we might choose you and choose your hope and choose your love, and help us to this end as we part today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scripture quotations marked AMP, taken from the Amplified Bible, copyright 2015 by the Lockman Foundation. Used by permission, www.lockman.org. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.